Life Audio.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle. Today's guest is Jessie Manassian. Jessie is a popular speaker, blogger, and the author of 14 books, including Crushed, Why Guys Don't Have to Make or Break You. She is the resident big sis at lifeloveandgod.com, a Q&A website for teen and college-age girls. Her work for girls and their parents has been featured internationally through outlets such as Focus on the Family, Parenting Today's Teens, She Reads Truth, Access, Revive Our Hearts, and Youth Worker Journal. She and her husband live in California's Central Coast with their two teenage daughters. Jessie, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited that you're here.
Sabrina, it is an absolute honor to be with you.
I do want to give our listeners a little bit of our backstory. We have a backstory together.
We do. We're like old friends.
Yes.
I mean, not old numerical. We're young. We're young, right. But we're old friends.
Okay. You're young, but I'm not that young. But anyway, so it was 3 or 4? It might have been 4 years ago. Four, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It could have been longer. But anyway, Jessie came to our church for a girls' conference that, well, I don't like to toot my horn, but anyway, I curated this conference for girls called Isn't She Lovely? And Life Unfiltered, basically what it was about. And I was drawn to Jessie and her work because she was talking about things that new girls were struggling with and truths that they needed to hear. I think at the time, I guess my daughter was 16 or 17, and I was teaching a sixth grade Sunday school class. So I was kind of in the midst of it, you know, kind of hearing conversations, which I'm a big listener. When it comes to girls, I always say when it comes to girls, you have to listen to what they say. They listen to their conversations. And when it comes to boys, you have to watch them because they're real rough. You have to watch boys. Girls, you listen. And so even when they're engaging with their friends sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I was drawn because I had been on your website or your blog, and I had seen a few of the books that you had out. And so anyway, today we're going to talk a little bit of a mashup of some of the books that Jessie has written. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the new book, because the other books are nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And Jessie has also written another book that is fiction. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. Okay, so the nonfiction books, Crushed, Why Guys Don't Have to Make or Break You. Can we say a hallelujah and an amen mm-hmm. to that one? Backwards Beauty, How to Feel Ugly in 10 Simple Steps, Unashamed, Overcoming the Sins No Girl Wants to Talk About, and Family. So we're going to talk a little bit about those books. And then her fiction book, is that Nede Rising?
That's right. Yeah, you got it. The Nede Rising series.
Okay, awesome. All right, wonderful. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I mean, here's the bio, but...
Sure, yeah. Jessie. Yeah, well, I mean, as it relates to why God put it on my heart to write books for teen girls and have a website for teens, it started... I had written my first book for teen girls, oh goodness, it's probably been 15, 17 years ago now. And I was speaking at a Christian camp over the summer, and girls would come up after and just want to ask questions. They had so many questions, or they'd email me after they'd gone home from camp. And my husband, back in the days when, you know, blogging was brand new, he's like, we should make a website. I'm like, what is this magic? I don't even know. So we made Life, Love, and God so that I could answer the questions instead of having to answer them over and over, where girls could just come and read them. And it really became this place where, because girls could ask questions anonymously and get answers, they could open up about the things they were really struggling with. And I was surprised, even though I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised by the questions that they were asking. I mean, obviously there was a lot about boys and relationships, because that's so much of our world when we're teens and young adults. But there was also a lot about the secret sins they were struggling with eating disorders and cutting, self-harm and substance abuse and same-sex relationships and self-loathing, just all these things that at the surface you'd think, I mean, a lot of them had grown up in the church. They had, you know, knew how to say the right things and present themselves a certain way. So that's really what the impetus was for just diving into this. Two girls, they're in junior high and high school now, but at the time they were just little things. And I remember praying, Lord, I will pour myself out for everyone else's daughters if you will bring voices into my own girls' lives someday. Because I knew enough about teens to know they weren't going to listen to me when they got to be teenagers.
Very realistic.
And so that's kind of been the impetus behind it. And I think there's three main questions I think every girl is wrestling with. And it's, am I beautiful? Am I lovable? Is there a guy who would love me and want to pursue me? And is there a God? Would God accept me despite everything that I've done? So those three questions, I think so many of the decisions that girls make, the way that they view themselves, the way that they view the world is wrapped up in them trying to answer those three questions. I mean, where we get off track. And the crazy thing is, if we don't answer them as a teenager, we don't stop trying to answer them, right? That's why I get emails from moms in their 40s and 50s saying, oh, like, I wish I had heard this when I was younger, because I can see how my decisions, you know, are still affected by that. So anyway, that's why I'm so passionate about it.
That's great. Yeah, I love that. And it's true for moms, if we don't engage our own story, then they, you know, they continuously come up. So that's a very good point. Yeah, so let's go through a little bit through some of your books. The one that I liked the most was the Unashamed, Overcoming the Sins No Girl Wants to Talk About. But I do think the Crushed and the Backwards Beauty, those are very relevant. So let's talk about Crushed. You kind of talked a little bit about why you wrote those books. You were getting questions from girls who were curious about relationships. And so let's talk about that one a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we could also alternately title it Everything I Wish I Had Known About Relationships Before I Was in Any.
Right.
Would have avoided a lot of really, really bad mistakes. Yeah, Crushed, it really is the subtitle, Why Guys Don't Have to Make or Break You. That's really it. I mean, it's not an I Kissed Dating Goodbye. It's not, you know, you should date or should court or anything like that. It's just more helping girls understand the relationship between their thoughts and the feelings that they feel. So for the Crushaholic, of which I was queen, understanding that you do have some power and some say over your affections, and learning how to take thoughts captive, learning what to look for in a guy, what to watch out for in a guy, how to become the kind of girl that's going to attract the right kind of guy, as well as some boundaries, physical boundaries and relationships. But my ultimate goal with that was just, you know, presenting scripture doesn't give us a dating manual, but it does give us relationship advice. You know, it gives us instructions on how to do relationship well. And so that's where this book is coming from, is how do we treat each other like brothers and sisters? How do we honor God in any relationship and stay holy and pursue unity and all those things that we hear in church a lot, but as teens, how do we apply that to the relationships that we are in or wish that we were in?
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that empathy is high to me on the level of how you engage with your child, and then also the boundaries. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm big into the boundaries.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like if any of you listening journaled when you were a teenager, pull those back out and like read.
Oh my goodness.
Read how deep those feelings were. Like they were real. We felt like we, you know, if you had a bad breakup, it felt like divorce. Like the depth of those emotions, I think as an adult, it's so easy to gloss over it or feel like, you know, what our teens are experiencing. Oh, you'll get over it. It's just passing. You know, we can just offer these platitudes that really are just like a Band-Aid on a greased watermelon. Like it just doesn't stick. But that empathy is important.
I agree. Yes. And yes, because I know how I felt. That pain can be almost like a physical pain. And so it's something to keep in mind. Okay. And then let's talk about backwards beauty. I love how you put this title, Backwards Beauty, How to Feel Ugly in 10 Simple Steps. Talk to us about that, the title and what all that means.
Yeah. Again, I feel like this is pretty much all of these books are just a manual in what not to do. Right. I'm specimen A. But I, you know, in high school and into college, especially, I struggled with disordered eating, with exercise bulimia. And it wasn't until, you know, into my later 20s that I finally understood some key truths. I mean, I knew I grew up in church. And so I knew, you know, God loves me just the way I am. God made me special and perfect. And like these things that we hear, but I didn't understand why it wasn't affecting how I felt when I actually looked in the mirror. And that's what I hear from girls a lot is I know the truth, but that doesn't make a difference when I look in the mirror or when I'm scrolling through Instagram or whatever it is, and I'm comparing. So I really wanted this book to be incredibly practical of specifically how do we overcome the lies? What is it about being female? Like just inherently by being female, we have beauty. Like God designed Eve to be the beautiful counterpart to Adam. And so helping girls see, like to deconstruct that image of perfection that they're fed through media, just a constant IV drip, and instead looking at the practical ways that we're beautiful just by being female, like the texture of our skin and our hair and the curves of our body, the extra layer of fat that we get so frustrated with is actually part of the blueprint that makes us beautiful as women. So some of those things we talk a little bit about eating disorders, but it's not a manual on overcoming those. I feel like that needs a therapy and a deeper dive than I wanted to do in this book. This is very, you know, entry level for junior hires on up through college age girls of how to see themselves differently, how to draw from their DNA, not try to be something that they're not, but to be the most beautiful versions of themselves that they can.
Yeah, you mentioned something though. If I could just backtrack a little bit, I understand we don't want to deep dive into this. And I am looking into addressing eating disorders in an episode. But I wanted to ask you, what is exercise bulimia? Because you said you struggled with that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that's a good clarification. So bulimia, traditional bulimia is sort of this binge and purge mentality. Anything that you eat, you feel like you have to purge so that you don't retain the calories or retain it on your body. And exercise bulimia is sort of a similar ideology, but rather than throwing up, it's I need to exercise X number of calories off because that's how many calories I ate. So it becomes an unhealthy relationship with food and exercise and trying to just control. It's still a control issue. But that's the definition.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That really helps us go into the next book that you wrote, which is Unashamed, Overcoming the Sins No Girl Wants to Talk About.
That book really, it came out of those anonymous questions that I was getting from lifeloveandgod.com. And I mentioned earlier that I was surprised by the questions, but I shouldn't have been. And part of that is because I struggled with a secret sin for most of my growing up years. I struggled with sexual addiction from an early age. Someone else's sin introduced me to sin of my own. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't let anyone know because I had this perfect image on the outside, you know, ASB president and active in my youth group and all these things. And I thought, like, if anyone knew, they would think that I was so gross or wouldn't want to, you know, they would just completely reject me, or it was just so embarrassing. You know, I could never talk to my parents, or, you know, all those things, the lies that the enemy whispers. And his strategy is just isolate and then feed us lies and fill us with shame. So we feel like we're the only one. And if we feel like we're the only one and we're not getting help, then he has us cornered. So writing Unashamed was really like, hey, I'm going to go first and telling my story of how God helped me find freedom. And I hope that that inspires you to be brave enough to tackle your own secret sins. Mm-hmm. So there's a short chapter at the beginning that talks about some of the five main secret sins that girls had shared with me the most. But the book doesn't tackle each one of those individually. It's just more of a pep talk to overcoming sin in general. And like, how do we do this? How do we overcome shame? How do we enlist help? How do we understand our sin nature, but not in a deep theological, it's deeply theological, but in a very conversational way that teens can relate to. It's very story driven, very illustration driven. And this, more than any other book, I've gotten the most emails and messages and letters from teens and older young women saying this changed their lives. Mm. And so that excites me because it was the most terrifying book to write and to put myself out there in that way. So I feel like, you know, when we're willing to share and go first, whether that's as a mom sharing with her daughter, you know, for you moms, if you're willing to go first and share your mistakes with your daughter and the ways that God helped you find freedom, it goes a long way. It helps people feel to know that they're safe to be able to share their own stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And I like the way you say that it's the way the enemy uses shame and isolation to keep us trapped. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, because once you tell the story, it started to release the shame. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, God wants us to come into the light. Yeah. And that, you know, the darkness is not where he wants us to be.
Amen.
And it's a hard thing to do, but yes, it is it's a hard necessary. And I would say in this instance, Mom, if it's something that you have struggled with yourself, brings trauma to the surface, I would definitely say to seek professional help, maybe even if for you and your daughter, if you deem that necessary. But it's not something to be ashamed of if you need to get help, you know, professional help to help move through some of that. Okay. And then another one is Family. And I thought that was an interesting book because you talk about some of the things that occurred in your family. Okay. This is the thing. There is no perfect family. That's the first thing you have to acknowledge.
Amen.
There are some things that we see on TV or that society says this is how it should be, but it is not that way. There is no perfect, not one. There's no perfect people, so there can't be a perfect family. So just put that out of your head. There's no such thing. Okay, so let's talk about your book and how you decided to kind of talk about some of the things that were hard in your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you hit it spot on. Like there's just, I mean, every family is dysfunctional in its own way, right? Because we're all like sinful.
Right.
So I mean, I do get questions from girls about family, about how do I get along with my siblings? Or like, I'm so mad at my parents. They don't get me. So One thing I know from personal experience is that when you are a teenager, the world revolves around you. I mean, you are the center of your own orbit. And so to help move the perspective a little bit, to just shift outside of them and see, hey, your parents are people too. And so we talk about, like, you know, I share a story of who my parents actually were, like with their actual first names, like Art and Marianne. They actually had names, not just mom and dad. They had experiences and dreams and a life before me, and they made mistakes, and they weren't perfect people, but they, you know, they were doing the best they could. And so, yeah, from sharing some of those hurts, I didn't know my biological father. We had very little interaction. And so sharing, you know, what it's like to feel rejection. And but the overarching theme throughout the book, the ribbon that's woven throughout the chapters is Romans 8, 28 and 29, that God works all things together for good to those who love the Lord. And the thing we always forget is verse 29, which explains that the reason he can work all things together for good is because the good is to become more like his son, to become more like Jesus. And so how can we allow God to make us more like Christ through our family, not just despite our family? It's kind of the message for family. And I think this is probably the one that the most parents grab and give their kids, hoping like, okay, here, read this. Because it really is transformational. And I've taught that book to both guys and girls, teen guys and girls. And I feel like some of the biggest ahas have been from the guys too. It is a pink book, so I don't recommend buying it for your sons unless they're very comfortable with them.
it's kind of maroonish.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I think it's good to help them understand, like, change is going to come. You're going to be on your own. So how can you make the most of the time that you have with your family today? And there's a family manifesto in there that I've printed out and keep now for myself and my family as well. Of like, you know, how can we make the most of this time that we have together for the years that we do?
Oh, that's beautiful. Family manifesto. That's really nice. Yeah. You know, you and I have that in common. I never met my biological father. And because he died, my parents divorced when I was very young. And then he died when I was 14. And I was living in a whole nother state. So yeah, I never met him. But so it is interesting how your family dynamics in your family of origin affects the family dynamics in the family that you are creating.
Yes.
And so I'm also taking this other class right now. We did a lot of family of origin work, and yeah, you just don't even know until you start kind of looking into that, how much it has affected you and affects the way you do things. Yes. And it may not even be negative. It might be you do the opposite.
Right. Sure. Yeah, that's so true. And I think you don't realize how much it affects you until, like, when you have kids of your own, and especially as they get to be teenagers, like, that's when you really are like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't realize why I was doing the things that I was doing. I'm totally my mom, or I'm acting just like my dad, or like you said, trying to do things so opposite because, you know, I want to give them something different than what I experienced. And, you know, I'm just grateful God gives us so much grace, because I listened to your interview with Carrie Campakis, and I can so relate to her. I am not a parenting expert. I've worked with teens and I have teens, but that does not mean I've got all my stuff together. So I'm grateful for God's grace.
Right. And that is what people think, that, oh, well, if you're in this field or in this work, then you must, you know, she must be perfect. Your daughter must be perfect. No. And you must be a perfect mom. No. I try to, as many times as possible, say, I don't have all the answers. I am not perfect. And my daughter and I, we still have disagreements, you know, but I try to, in the way I encounter the disagreements. And I have also given my daughter the freedom to speak into me when she feels that I'm not handling something well.
That's great.
I have given her the freedom to say, yeah, you could have said that better, or, you know, I didn't need your opinion there. I'm just telling you. And it's like, hard, you know,
it's simultaneously hard. Like, yes, they get it. Like they've been learning, but then at the same time, it's so humbling when it's pointed at you.
Yes. Yes, it really is. So yeah, that takes a lot of work to be that open to have them speak into you that way. And I'm going to tell you, I don't always take it graciously. Sometimes, which I've mentioned this before, I need a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because everything shows on my face. I am one of those people. And so I need to step away, go take a little breather.
That's right.
Watch a comedy or something. Yeah. And then re-enter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I really appreciate those books that you wrote. And I have to tell you, after the conference, which I've shared this with you, Jesse, but I had a lot of girls come up to me and they were so encouraged. They said, you know, a few of the things that they said were, now I know I'm not alone. I thought I was the only one. We need to talk about these things more. Because the conference was in a church. And so they wanted to hear the hard stuff. They wanted to hear it. And they wanted to feel like they had other people that they could talk to about the hard stuff, where they weren't afraid of, well, judgment, to be honest. You know, they weren't afraid that you were going to see them in a particular way. They were like, oh, other people are struggling with this too. That was kind of where they were. And so I was very grateful. Yeah, very grateful that you had agreed to come and speak to our middle school and high school girls.
That was a special time.
Well, thank you. Okay, now let's talk about your fiction book. And I haven't read this one yet, but it looks like something I'm going to have to pick up. So why don't you tell us about this one?
All right. Well, have you ever had something in your life, Sabrina, where you were like, all right, I got this down. Like, I like where we're headed, God. Things are going well. And then he just kind of pulls a 180 and is like, I'm glad you're happy doing this. Now we're going to do something completely different.
Yes, I'm going to stretch you now and get you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust your test for me. Yeah. Test your trust for me. Yes.
That's exactly right. So that is the Nadeh Rising series for me. He had kind of nudged me. It was in the middle of a lot of Me Too stories coming out, crimes against women. Mm. It was heartbreaking and terrifying, both as someone who works with young women and as a mom of two young women. Mm. And I was just thinking one day, just having a quiet moment, and this question came, what if we could do something about it? Mm. And immediately had an idea for a book series, but it was fiction. And I have a few fiction author friends. And honestly, I thought they were a little bit crazy, to be honest. They would like talk about their characters like they were real people. Mm-hmm. And now I am that author. Mm-hmm. But after a year, I finally gave in and said, okay, God, we'll do this thing. And so 5 years it took me, beginning that process, or from when the idea struck to when these books actually made their way into the world. But the whole premise is that crimes against women get so bad that women feel that they have to do something for their own safety and survival. Mm. And so they create a vaccine that inoculates all the baby boys against testosterone. Oh. And they create a world where women are safe, but at a cost. And so that's the premise. It's set in the jungles of Central America in a dystopian matriarchal society. There's horses and archery and some really fun twists along the way, but I'm really proud of it. I'm excited about it. And it's a crossover book. So it's not, it fits with a Christian audience, but faith isn't a main theme. So it's a book that you can give girls who even aren't in the church, but just appreciate a good story.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does sound interesting. Pick that up and take a look at it and see what Nadeh Rising's all about.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's the genre. It's young adult dystopian. So along the lines of like The Hunger Games and Divergent, mm-hmm. kind of that mm-hmm. that type of a feel. And it's not, like I said, it's not theme heavy. I didn't come to it saying, okay, this is what I want to teach through fiction. It was more like, I want to tell this story. And then the themes just sort of organically raised to the surface. Mm. And it's really fun because I feel like there's so, you know, through nonfiction writing have talked a lot about, you know, how God designed men and women not to rule over each other, but, you know, when we bring our gifts to the table, we can change the world. Like when we just partner together. And so to be able to do that through fiction was fun.
Oh, I love that. Partner together. Yes. I love that. All right. Well, Jesse, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and share with us some of your thoughts and what you've poured into your books and how you've worked with girls for a very long time. And it seems like you're kind of being challenged now because you have yourself middle school and high school.
So yes, pray like, for me.
You get
pray
to put it listeners. All into practice. So how can our listeners connect with you?
You can find me at lifeloveandgod.com, which is the website for teen and college age girls. There's an Ask Jesse tab that you can click on if you want to send me a note. I am not able to respond to all the messages, but I do read them all and pray for every single one. So if you want to send me a note, I'd love to hear from you. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. The fiction series is under the pen name Jess Corban. So jesscorban.com, or you can just Google A Gentle Tyranny and you'll be able to find that series as well.
Okay. And as usual, I will put the links in the show notes.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit with us. And moms, this would be a good one for your daughters to listen to.
No, thanks so much. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.